My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. My guests today are Nick and Megan Lamore, who are from Vermont, but that's a place that they haven't been to too much here in the last several years. They have just returned from working in Malawi, the country of Malawi in South Central Africa, and they have just arrived here in Cincinnati to serve as ministerial trainees. So welcome, Nick.
Thanks, Mr. Kubik. We appreciate that very much.
And his lovely wife, Megan.
Hi, thanks so much.
I think that it might be interesting to say just how you got back, because we're still in COVID land here. We're in the last days of the month of May, and lockdown isn't fully opened yet, and there's still questions about things. And when we found out that there was this virus back in May or March, when it was there, we said, hey, we've got to get you back to the USA. Tell us how you got back and how close you got not to coming back.
Right now, actually, it's pretty interesting. The airport is still closed in Lilongwe. It actually did close about 2 weeks after we left. So when we were scheduled to leave was March 30th, and we ended up leaving on March 19th, so about 11 days prior. And there was a lot of uncertainty in Malawi at that time because, you know, they're a few weeks behind the U.S. as far as those sort of things go. So while the United States had already come into dealing with this whole virus, Malawi was just sort of figuring out, what is this all about? How do we deal with this? What precautionary measures should we be taking? And so, you know, we prayed a lot about it, and we talked to you and Mrs. Kubik, and we talked to some other pastors in the U.S. We talked to my family. Oh, we talked to the elders as well there. And we came to the decision that it seemed wisest for us to just get home as soon as we could, because situations were changing every day, the information was different every single day, and the world was just steadily increasing in chaos at that point. Certainly now, even though we don't know everything, it seems to have abated a little bit, but there was just so much uncertainty at the time. Delta canceled all of their flights, and so we weren't able to fly home anyway. So we ended up taking a 17-hour and 20-minute flight home direct from Ethiopia straight to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, well, that part of Africa, you know, is very near and dear to Bev and me. We've been there probably to Malawi at least a dozen times, you know, in our travels. And what we really like, when Bev and I have been to a place and have become attached to the people as we have in Malawi, we like to be able to include other people that we want to share the experience. We want them to go there. We want them to meet these people because we love them. I mean, we consider them like family, and we feel very, very close to them. And the thing that we find most fascinating with them is that they have share some of the same values that we do. They have the same faults that we do. You know, all of us are, you know, not perfect as human beings, but we have particularly enjoyed, well, all three couples that have gone over there, as to how that's changed their lives. Speaking of changing lives, Megan, how has this, do you feel, changed your life?
It makes me appreciate the things that I have. It also has made my family bigger. So I have my immediate family, I have my church family, and now I have family members all over the world. And I spent the past year with all of these people in Africa, and they're just now part of my family. I have family in Africa. And so that's probably the biggest thing. And I love them so much, and to grow, spend an entire year going through the struggles and the joyous events and all of that stuff with the people in Malawi, their memories that will never go away, their relationships that will never go away. So I definitely hope to go back and visit in my family. So
well, I think the people who hear that you want to go back, they're going to be saying, when are they coming back? one thing that we really liked is when you gave a tour of the feast site in Nkwazi. to us, that was the video of the year. In fact, I'll tell our listeners, you know, that they can look this up on my website or on Nick's blog, which is called Out of Vermont. But in this tour, Megan gives a tour of the festival site. And to me, she does such a beautiful lady-like presentation of the church hall where the people, you know, stay, their rooms and everything. And the thing that reminded me most of was Jackie Kennedy's tour of the White House, where she went from this room to that room. But it's just done very, 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 very beautifully. Nick, I'd like to have you tell me about some memorable things from this trip and how it has changed your thinking towards people. The people there are so different. Also, the people there are so much the same. That's the thing that really strikes me about people, is that we have feelings, we have desires, we have wants, and they are the same. You know, we react similarly and all that, but we're different. And it's trying to blend all these things with one set of values and hope for a better world where, you know, all benefit. I would like to have you comment on that.
When we talk about God's way of life, you know, the great thing about that is that it is not bound by nationalities. It's not bound by borders. You can go to Malawi. You can go to India. You can go to South Africa. You can go to Canada, America. And God's laws, they transcend borders, and they transcend years and decades and millennia. And that's really cool. It's just sometimes our circumstances are different. But it's really, like you say, you know, that's all the same. We still have the same struggles. I wrote an article for Compass Check magazine, our teen magazine, sent out to all the teens in the church, just talking about some of the similarities between some of the teens in Malawi in relation to the teens in the U.S. And really, you know, we have different situations and different circumstances, but we have an underlying faith that's the same. We have challenges that are all the same everywhere. We are all growing up, trying to become better people. We all have struggles with maybe finances. We might have struggles with relationships.
You know, to me, one of the things that really struck me about working with people in Zambia and Malawi, those are the countries that I mostly, you know, have been involved in, is their attitude, is their outlook on children. And the grief that overcomes families should they lose a child exceeds anything that I have seen. I mean, the way that they feel about their own and the way that they care about their children and the way they view their children and how they value their children and their future exceeds what I see even in the West.
Yeah, and that's something maybe I can just comment relating to children, is the family structure in Malawi is so much more different than what I grew up experiencing, or probably what most people grew up experiencing in the U.S. Here in the U.S., you have your parents, you have your children maybe, or your brothers and sisters, and you might have some cousins that you might invite to a birthday party or something like that that you're close with. But in Malawi, it's, well, my wife has a sister who married somebody, and he has some nephews, and they're like part of my family. And so everybody is family there. And so that was a completely different dynamic. And we saw a lot about that when we would go to the different funerals, just this outpouring of concern and compassion from people that, you know, technically speaking, they're not even related to you, but it's just this whole family dynamic that they have, and that's very strong over there. So the parenting is completely different than it would be in the U.S., but somehow the kids, most of them turn out to have really good manners and stuff, especially even in the church. You see these youths that are somewhere between 10, 11, 12, and all the way up to 19 years old, and they have great manners, yet they've been raised completely different than we might have been raised, or someone here in America. And so different parenting styles can still result in positive outcomes.
Well, I know that in talking to families, one thing I found out was two brothers and their they have children, and the children the boys don't call each other's cousins. They call themselves brothers.
Yeah.
Should one of the brothers die, they're no longer cousins. they'll stay to be brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting dynamic. When you went over there and volunteered, we didn't really tell you too much because we didn't want to tell you too much. We wanted you to kind of figure out what you were going to do. What did you find yourself being thrust into?
You kind of just learn what the people need as you get to know them. And so we found ourselves, Nick especially, he was doing a lot of just talking, but that turned into counseling. So counseling on issues that they had, or just talking with them to get to know them. And then things would come up. Things like dealing with church finances or church activities that they had wanted to do, but they didn't really know how to plan. So then we would go in and try and give them a template to plan things. Those are just some of the things that we picked up along the way.
I mean, at the end, when we were departing, everything was pretty much taken over and under control by the two recently ordained elders there. The speaking schedule, I hadn't done that in months. The finances, now really that was all in the hands of the eldership there, and as it should be. You know, local people dealing with the local situations. Because a lot of times coming from the U.S., we might say, well, you know, this is how we've always done it in the U.S. This is how it seems like it makes sense to us. But a lot of times things do not translate, even for reasons besides language. They just don't translate because of cultural issues.
One thing that's been a very joyous to me personally is just to see where Malawi has come from in our time. Because the very first time that Bev and I went to meet Malawians, I had no idea where it even was on the earth. And it was at the Feast of Tabernacles in Zimbabwe where we met the first Malawians. They had come down to the feast. Mm-hmm. And this was in 1996, almost 24 years ago. Then it was another 4 years before I got to Malawi. I sort of got there by the skin of my teeth, just by loan. I just wanted to see what this place was about. And we were trying to build a clinic in that area and had the groundbreaking for it. And still, at that time, there were only just one family in the church, and that was in Lilongwe. Mm-hmm. Nobody from Blantyre. There's nothing going on in Blantyre.
Wow.
After that, we were there again in 2001, and then all of a sudden, things started coming alive. Mm-hmm. And now, just jumping ahead now to 2020, here we have a church in Blantyre that's 75 to 90 people, and with an elder there. We have a church in Lilongwe, also with, 60?
Plus or minus.
50, 60 people.
And we were able to start up a new congregation in Machinji in western Malawi, and they have about 45 to 50 people now.
That's not the Nkwazi church.
Yeah,
okay.
Nkwazi.
Okay. Yeah.
That's in Machinji district.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. We walked, toured the property. That's where Megan gave the White House tour.
Yeah.
But now you're coming here as a ministerial trainee. Give me your thoughts about making this choice, because we weren't sure whether you would say that, is this where I want to have my life go? Maybe you can share some of your inner thoughts with the people who are listening right now.
Yeah, sure. This is something I've contemplated and thought a lot about. You're right. It's not something that you just decide, oh, this is what I'm going to do. I think tomorrow I'll be a minister. But if I can, the story just kind of goes back a little ways. So I started going to college for forestry and doing tree work. And I thought, boy, this is great, working with trees, being outside all day, every day. I'm in great shape. And then I started doing it more and more. And I did tree work for 2 or 3 years. And I prayed to God. I said, oh, this is all I want to do. If you just please let me do this for 7 years, you know, the number of completion, then I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. But just let me do this. And so 2 years later, I'd been doing tree work for 5 years. My body was in terrible pain all of the time. I had arthritis. And I said, oh, God, please just get me out of this. Help me to do something else. And you know what? The answer was no. And I did tree work for 2 more years. And almost exactly to the day of 7 years of doing tree work, then all of a sudden, I get this e-news. And it says, oh, well, we're looking for some volunteers to go to Africa. I said, well, what do you think about this, Megan? And she said, well, I don't know. And so we asked for some more information. And then 5 weeks later, we were headed off to Africa. And so ever since then, we've been able to just see God's hand at work in our lives, pushing us towards, I don't know, this vocation or this direction. And so it's not something that, you know, I remember as a kid, I never wanted to be a minister. I'd say that to anybody if they ever asked. But now the only thing I can say is, well, God, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. Who am I to say, well, I'll serve you, but it's going to be on my terms. It's going to be on my conditions. That's not something that you say to the creator of the heavens and the earth. We're just happy to do whatever it is God wants us to do, whether it's cleaning toilets or whether it's leading hymns or whatever it is. We're just happy to serve God's people. We're happy to do what we can, do our part to spread the good news of the kingdom. I don't know exactly what my specific duties will entail, but you know, I have an overview, and we're just happy to serve.
Now let's have a word from Megan. How does she feel about what Nick said?
Well, I never in my entire life ever thought that I would be a minister's wife, but...
Or going to church.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't grow up in the church or knowing God's way of life at all until I was 20. And so I never pictured my life going this direction, or anything, actually, that has happened since I was 20, pretty much. But being a minister's wife, I've already had, you know, we've just begun, and I have already had so much support from other ministers' wives. There's a wonderful group of women who just take you in, and they scoop you up, and they and they basically guide you into this role, and it's wonderful. The connections through the church, through God's people, It's amazing. And so that makes me encouraged and excited about this next journey, because I want to be able to support Nick in anything that he has to deal with or go through. And I'm going to need tools in order to do that. So to have all of these women here guiding me and helping me, it makes me feel comfortable, because I know that I can do this. I know that with God's help, with God's people, I can do this.
Well, we're very excited for you. And I might just say that Nick and Megan are not as green as they might make themselves out to be. Both of them have gone to Ambassador Bible College and have graduated from it in two separate years. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, when one was going, and they were married at the time, they were sharing things, you know, with each other from the classes and the entire experience. They went through the Pastor's Development Program, last fall, which we hold every November at the home office. So they're very knowledgeable, and my wife and I have been just very, very impressed by their can-do spirit and attitude and how they handle everything with the church, handling everything from people to money to opportunities to programs. So it's been very wonderful. Write to us today. You can write to us directly at podcast@ucg.org. podcast@ucg.org. Be sure to tell your friends about this podcast. We try to produce one every week. You can find us easily on the homepage of ucg.org. Go to the main menu and click on podcast. Click or tap on podcast. Also, I might mention that we are on Spotify now. You can go to Spotify, you can go to podcasts, and you can look for Inside United, and you can take it anywhere you go, in your car, on a walk, any place. You can go right to Inside United, or go to the Apple or the Google Play Store and get your favorite podcast app as well. So we thank you for joining us here. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.